Kings greedy for sense gratification on this earth almost always killed their enemies indiscriminately. To satisfy their own whims, they may kill anyone, even their mothers, fathers, brothers, or friends. Purport. We have seen in the history of India that Aurangzeb killed his brother and nephews and imprisoned his father to fulfill political ambitions. There have been many similar instances, and Kamsa was the same type of king. Kamsa did not hesitate to kill his nephews and imprison his sister and his father. For demons to do such things is not astonishing. Nonetheless, although Kamsa was a demon, he was aware that Lord Vishnu cannot be killed, and thus he attained salvation. Even partial understanding of the activities of Lord Vishnu makes one eligible for salvation. Kamsa knew a little about Vishnu, that he could not be killed, and therefore if he attained salvation, although he thought of Vishnu, Krishna, as an enemy. What then to be said of one who knows Krishna perfectly from the description of Shastras like Bhagavad Gita? It is therefore the duty of everyone to read Bhagavad Gita and understand Krishna perfectly. This will make one's life successful. Krishna says in the Gita many things. One of the things is, Avajanati Bhagavad Mahashi Tanamahashita. Buddhas, persons who are deluded by the illusory energy Maya. Prabhupada talks in this purport about demons. Krishna talks about mudhas. They're basically the same, just maybe different degrees. Some are maybe a mild mudha, innocuous mudha, can't do much harm to anybody else. If he could, he would. There are many selfish householders in the universe. Most people are householders. They've got their greeds. They're holding on, grabbing onto something for themselves. This is what the word griha means, from the verb grah, to grab. So you have to have something for yourself. Of course, everybody has to have something to live. But a sadhu can live under a tree. At least he doesn't have to be so possessive of a pile of bricks, or straw, or reinforced concrete, or steel, that he's so attached that this is my place. A man's house is his castle. This is my kingdom. And if anybody trespasses, I can shoot him and kill him, because of course actually the Dharma Shastra allows that. If a man comes trespassing your house, you can kill him, even according to Dharma Shastra. But a sadhu doesn't think this is my house. Krishna has given me a place to sleep. That's all. Not that I'm going to kill another living entity to defend this pile of bricks, because someone's going to take away my gold, my wife, you know, the food in the refrigerator, therefore I'll shoot him. This is demoniac mentality. You think to be selfish and be worried about yoga and kshema. Krishna says don't worry about acquisition and protection. You don't need to buy a shotgun to protect your house. Why do you have a house in the first place? You know, why do you have anything more than necessary that you have to worry about protecting? Yogakshema Mahanyam, Ananyaschintayantoma. This is the most sure insurance policy. Think about Krishna all the time. Ananyaschintayantoma. Ananyas. Don't think about me, you know, with one side of your brain, and then the other side of your brain be thinking of sense gratification, or just like this AC current. It's on and off 60 times a second. In India, 50 times a second. That's why the light looks a little flickery, because it's slower. It's only 50 hertz. Our brain, I don't know, depends. Individuals' brains work at different frequencies. But we're very often switching back and forth between attention on Krishna and attention on Maya. Maybe they're incompatible, but we have this alternating current that we can be on and off Krishna consciousness from one second or a fraction of a second to another. Attracted to Krishna, also attracted to Maya. So it's basically incompatible, and you cannot get the full benefit of Krishna consciousness until you switch to direct current on Krishna, attention on Krishna all the time, not switching back and forth. That requires rewiring. You cannot take an AC appliance and plug it into a direct current. It will destroy it. So we have to rewire our brains in order to be able to think about Krishna all the time. In other words, we have to undergo practice of sadhana. You cannot come full of material desires and selfishness and just park yourself at Radha Kunda and think that you've attained perfection. You won't. You haven't converted yourself. You haven't purified yourself yet. So the process of purification is available in the sadhana bhakti regime. Yes, even partial understanding of Krishna brings you salvation. Even the demons who were maintaining inimical thoughts, inimical feelings against Krishna, but they're thinking about Krishna and they know something properly about Krishna. Kamsa knew that Vishnu cannot be killed. That's an important thing to understand. You're the big killer. Everyone's afraid of you, but there's one person who you can't kill. And you're going to have to be afraid of him instead. And this was Kamsa's perverted form of Stai Bhava. He was constantly, it was not his spiritual relationship. Kamsa is not an, what you call an ashraya of bhakti. Rupa Goswami denies it. Demons are not participants in bhakti. They're participants in Krishna's legalism, but as outsiders, they're not tasting the rasa. Not even the bhibhatsa, the vira, the raudra rasa. They're not tasting them. Because they don't have the adhikar, the bhava, or ecstasy. They're in material mentality. But still, they get their liberation because they're thinking about Krishna and they know something. Kamsa knows that Krishna cannot be killed. Vishnu, which is going to appear as the eighth son of Devaki, he doesn't know the name yet. But he'll hear that name soon enough. And that name will be vibrating in his brain day and night. This Krishna, this Bala, I have to kill him. That will be his constant thought. And the basis of it, the basis of his violent attitude, enmity against God, is his fear. It has been said by the divine voice in the sky that this child of Devaki is going to kill me. So even though no one else can stand up to Kamsa, there's one person who can. He can deal with everybody by just killing them. His sister's in the way, pick up his sword, chop her head off. His father's in the way, put him in jail, and if he's not stopped by that, then kill him also. There was Kamsa's way of controlling things and preventing people from hurting him, kill them. Demoniac politician. But Krishna can't be killed. All he can do with Krishna is be terrified of him.
constantly obsessed with this idea of Krishna involved, his nemesis, the ones who are predicted to be his end.
He attained salvation by that meditation. In the end, he became attracted to Krishna. And so when he met his death in the arena, he was eligible to attain love of God and go back to Godhead. So, if we're in that category of just knowing a little bit about Krishna and still having some inimical feelings, maybe we're not have no power to stand up against Krishna. We're not going to even dare to think anything bad about Krishna. We know Krishna can crush us like a little ant between his fingers. So we're not going to dare to say anything against Krishna, or even inside our private mind think anything bad against Krishna. But we're harboring feelings. You know, why are we not experiencing prema, pure love? Because we still have some resentment against Krishna. Why am I disenfranchised? Why am I weak and confused and suffering? Why is my knee hurt? And I won't dare to think it's Krishna's fault, but I'm harboring that idea unconsciously, unspoken, that, you know, this controller of the universe is really giving me a hard time. Why don't I get an even break? So we have that feeling. It's a very mild form of the demoniac mentality. And therefore, we don't experience the love of God because we're feeling it inwardly. So, yes, we can have our liberation if we avoid serious aparadha. We'll get liberation. We'll even maybe be sent to Vaikuntha by dint. That's dint because endeavor. On the strength of our endeavor, of trying to do some service to Krishna. Even though we're not pure in our hearts, we're trying to be Krishna's servants. Just like I want to serve the government. I don't love the government. But if I serve the government, that's the best way to advance my career. You know, so I'm the servant of the king. And I'm bowing down to him and obeying his commands. I don't love him. I may even hate him. I wish I could kill him and become the king myself. But I'm a faithful servant, at least on the outside it looks like that. But not out of love, out of selfish intention to advance my own purposes. So we may be serving Krishna, not necessarily that bad, but with some selfish motivation. We'll get our liberation, and Krishna will even grant us entrance into Vaikuntha. Not so easy to get into Goloka, but maybe Vaikuntha. Just by doing the activities of devotional service and doing some service for him. But we can do better than that. Prabhupada says, what is to be said of one who knows Krishna perfectly? From the descriptions of Shastra like Bhagavad Gita. What to speak of someone who carries out Krishna's instructions? Manmanaha bhava man bhakto. Think of me all the time and be my servant. All the time, not switching back and forth 50 times a second between attention on Krishna and attention on Maya, attraction to Krishna, no next minute attraction to Maya, but attention on Krishna all the time, and engaged, without motivation, without selfish motivation, and without interruption, actually serving Krishna. What the service is doesn't matter. The success of a devotee is not according to how important his service is, how much everyone applauds him, how much money he has, how many followers he has. It's not the real measure of success in devotional service. The real success, the real measurement is how your service is a hoituki and a patihata. It can be any simple, humble service, but if it's without selfish intentions, And if it's not interrupted, what interrupts devotional service? The opposite, service to Maya. It doesn't mean I'm cooking and I have to answer the phone to do some service to Krishna, but that's interruption. Stop the cooking for a minute. Mother Yashoda was cooking, was feeding Krishna her breast milk, and she had to put him down to go stop the milk from boiling on the stove. That's not interruption of devotional service. It's just variety of devotional service. But when you stop serving Krishna to serve Maya, that's interruption. Yeah, that's what Pratiya means. Stopping devotional service doesn't mean doing some other service. It means doing no service or disservice. Service to Maya. If you avoid that, if you're always serving Krishna one way or another, even when you're sleeping, even when you're doing everything, it's a service to Krishna, in the proper mood of service to Krishna, then that's success. It may be the humblest service. You may be just chanting your rounds and, you know, doing some simple puja or something, any little thing, cooking, taking care of a baby, anything. But it's pure, and that's real success. Not being big in the eyes of everybody in the world, but having motivations and secretly interrupting your devotional service for a little, you know, pleasures here and there, material pleasures. That's not as successful. So if we follow Krishna's instruction, if we understand Krishna's instructions in the Gita, and we live them, we be his devotee without selfish motive, without interruption, then our life will actually become successful. Prabhupada says, it is therefore the duty of everyone to read Bhagavad Gita and understand Krishna perfectly. This will make one's life successful. Hare Krishna. So any questions or comments?
Is how our children get imperfect emotion that we get thankful. By often then the sin is hurt. Liberation is hurt than one to have, because why would have an eternal imperfect perfection and hell is just going to
hell? Ooh, going to Vaikuntha is worse than going to hell? I don't think we can, you know, our acharyas would agree that Vaikuntha is worse than hell. Not even the most radical worship of Radha Krishna. We're not that down on Vaikuntha. The Vaikuntha is very nice. Maybe, but did he actually say something like that?
I don't
think so. Who is it?
Yeah.
Kaivalya Narakayate. Prabhupada Chaitanya Chandramrita. He says, impersonal, Brahma Jyoti and impersonal liberation, that's like hell. But not to be serving Lord Narayan and Vaikuntha. Narayan is Krishna.
Well, Krishna and Vaikuntha.
A dwarf can be. That's what it looks like. You have a Narayan form called Krishna, but it's still Narayan. Govind is there, but it's a different form.
They worship Bhakti and Krishna.
That's expansion. It's a lot of expansion.
Like these would be people who are worshiping Krishna. But, you know, they all have to go to Gokula, they don't have that.
Generally they don't, because they're you know, their acharyas don't. If someone sneaks in there like Madhavendra Puri, he may just give it a little bit of Goloka Prema, but generally that's not their interest. Their interest isn't even so much Vaikuntha. They don't talk about Vaikuntha. They don't think about Vaikuntha. They don't depict it. They're in the material world, mostly in one place. Demigod consciousness. Yeah. Well, they are demigods. Madhavacharya himself is a demigod. And the whole crew, the whole sampradaya is demigods. It's a demigod sampradaya. Swarthamo sampradaya. There's not much thought. Their idea of liberation. No concept of Vaikuntha. No mention of it practically. It's like a taboo. That's the other world. We don't know anything about it. We don't pretend to know. And Sri Sampradaya is a lot different. They're very much a Vaikuntha consciousness. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
just step into a Sri Vaishnava temple and Kalmatas all over the place. Visually, everything, you know, you're bombarded with Vaikuntha. But some might say it's like it's not their place. I'm sorry. Not eternity of Vaikuntha. It's not eternity, that's fine. The problem is, now, if you end up in Vaikuntha because you perform devotional service without Radha, you know, you perform Vaidhi Bhakti, and you fail to perform Radha Nuga Bhakti, and your Vaidhi Bhakti is successful, and you go to Vaikuntha. Now, so you're in Vaikuntha. You either have a Vaikuntha Sarupa, or you have a Goloka Sarupa, and somehow you didn't fulfill your potential. If your Sarupa is that you're supposed to be in Vaikuntha eternally, fine, you're there. You can't go any further anyway, because your Sarupa doesn't accommodate it. If your Sarupa is something higher, if it's a Goloka Sarupa, then you can still graduate. You're not stuck in Vaikuntha. You're there forever, but you can go to the best part of Vaikuntha, namely Goloka. You know, you're stuck in Vaikuntha forever, but you can go to Goloka because it's part of Vaikuntha, or vice versa. And if your Sarupa is to be with Krishna in Goloka, then you'll get there. You won't be satisfied being in Vaikuntha, and you'll work to graduate up to to upgrade your accommodations. But there's nothing wrong with going, there's no harm in going to Vaikuntha. Because either that's where you're supposed to be, or you can graduate from there. But you can't get, if it is a Vaidiki or Vaikuntha, you can't get to Vaikuntha.
Yeah. If it's
Haitiki. Or Patiata.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it isn't pure, if you don't have any prema, you can't get into Vaikuntha anyway. Don't worry about it, that I might accidentally get stuck in Vaikuntha. Can't get in there unless you're pure, and if you're pure, you won't do the wrong thing. Whatever you do is right, if you have a pure heart. We have to worry about doing the wrong thing now because we're confused. And we're directed by the modes of nature. But the modes of nature don't touch you if you become pure. And you don't make any mistakes or wrong judgments once you have a pure heart. So don't worry that I'm accidentally going to step into Vaikuntha and get stuck in the Vaikuntha quicksand. Don't worry about it. No problem. No problem if you go to Vaikuntha. That's not a problem.
Practically, the preaching Prabhupada didn't make much fuss about the distinction between Vaikuntha and Goloka Vaikuntha. He used the terms more or less interchangeably.
Yeah.
In general.
I mean, he made it clear that Goloka is the best place, and Vaikuntha is, he didn't keep that secret. But there wasn't need to put down Vaikuntha. If his disciples were to go to Vaikuntha, he would be happy with that. Yes, Vaikuntha man, but a servant of Srimati Radharani. But he said, and we're called Vaishnavas. The name of our religion is Vaishnava religion. Worship of the Vishnu. Why not Krishna? Krishnites. But Vaishnavas were called. Because it's generically the same. There's no big difference. The difference is natural. We don't have to put a label on it. If we're meant for Goloka, we'll end up there. Changing the name won't make any difference. He did, didn't he? Kamsa, after this is his third lifetime, And now he's going to get his, go back to back where he came from, back to Vaikuntha. By being killed. He is one of them, right? Okay. And so they were promised by Narayan, you can come back after three lifetimes, after being killed by me three times. This is the third life that comes up.
But he didn't just get liberated like other beings. He went back to Narayan.
Well, he didn't get his personal liberation, yeah. Because Narayan promised him, you'll come back to me.
And
it's described, especially in the case of Shishupal, in the Vishnu Dharmottara Purana, that you cannot go back to God, you cannot get that liberation, unless you have love for him, unless you become actually attracted. The same demons in their previous two lifetimes didn't go back to Godhead, they came back to the material world again. It took a second and then a third birth. Because in their previous lives, they were obsessed with Narayan, with Vishnu, but they didn't have any real attraction for him.
So they didn't go back to Godhead?
Well, they came back again, and on the third time they went back to Godhead. But not the first and the second time.
The second time they went back to Godhead and came back?
No. First and second time they didn't go back to Godhead. They just took birth again.
Oh.
And the third time they did. Because only at the third time, each one of those, Jaya and Jaya, the other one was Shishupal, third time. Yeah.
But Shishupala described on the bottom that he was absorbing his Ramayoti.
No, that's what it looked like for everybody. He entered Krishna's body.
Uh-huh.
And Rupa Goswami described that some devotees, they want to be a particle of Krishna's body, and that's a kind of Shantarasa.
Mm-hmm.
Not a personal.
That's how the Sri Vaishnava Mahavas also understands the usual. You become one of the Lord's
Well, Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Sanatana acknowledges it's a kind of Sayuja Mukti. It's one way to understand. It's one version of Sayuja Mukti, personal version. And devotees can tolerate it, and a few devotees want it. Most devotees want something more active and personal. To graduate to the higher form of love of God. Many devotees from Vaikuntha, or devotees who were eligible to attain Vaikuntha, were admitted participation in Lord Chaitanya's Leela so they could learn about God and Krishna, including many great demigods. And the same demons who were killed by Krishna, many of them became participants of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, came back a fourth time. They were already liberated, but that's to upgrade their liberation. They came back a fourth time.
Ananda Vilamaya Vikramaya Emam Divya Chiri Sundaraya Tasmai Mahatmehara Sakadaya Chaitanya Sundaraya.
The book on the source.
Mahatmehara Sakadaya is his point.
Mahatmehara. Better Prema. New improved Prema.
Regarding this point about flickering between Moga and Tyaga, say 50 times a second or whatever, it seems as if practically in this world, there are many different kinds of devotees. They accept different kinds of devotional authority, and there are differences of opinion among different Vaishnavas. So it becomes a little bit difficult to objectively determine what exactly is the difference between serving Krishna or not serving Krishna and serving Krishna in different ways.
The criterion of whether you're actually serving Krishna is whether you're satisfying Krishna. Krishna is the one who's to decide that.
It's subjective.
Like he told Duryodhana, he cooked a nice feast, but I'm not going to touch it. Not the other Duryodhana. You cook this big feast, I won't touch it, you're the enemy of my devotees. I don't accept your service. But that's for Krishna to decide. And if we can find someone who knows what Krishna is thinking and saying, like someone in the Pacific Succession, we can maybe find it out what Krishna thinks.
Yeah, well, my point is that there are many, many persons who are put forward as such an objective or, you know, connected authority.
So be careful. If someone claims to be, you know, an expert physician and he doesn't know what he's doing, then he can kill you.
Yeah, no, it's not even a question of people themselves claiming, but you know, there are many persons put forward, and, you know, I worship such and such Maharaj, he's completely connected with Krishna's internal potency. And
so before you surrender to such and such Maharaj, you should test him.
Yeah.
And let him test you. That Gopal Bhatta Goswami and others recommend mutual testing. Not sentimental, fanatic, blind faith. Then when you've tested and accepted to the best of your ability, best of your intelligence, you've discriminated and decided, okay, he's bona fide. And I have a compatible feeling and an attraction. Then you accept, and once you accept, you become disciples, then you don't question again.
That said, it seems as if, in a practical sense, that there really isn't any objective way of determining who is serving Krishna or not at any given point.
Well, there are objective principles. There are standard principles. You have to use your own intelligence to apply them, so you can call it subjective. I think that was just a temporary position. I don't think he stayed like that. Also, he got Dr. Rukra, so I'm sure Kamsa is one of the two.
He's only waiting for Chaitanya Leela.
Yeah. He's only going to, even if he stays in Krishna's body, he's going to come out in order to participate in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Yeah, that's his Shishupala Dr. Rukra, at least Kamsa out. Kamsa's not one of the two, but Shishupala and Dr. Rukra are.
Yeah.
Kamsa is someone else. Maybe Kalanini? Hold on. I never get that right. Okay, so it's fine. Thank you, all Lord Shiva Bhagavad Shiva Bhagavatam Ki Jaya.